This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world. The Washington Capitals. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we're back after a quick, a week hiatus? Have you missed us? I know you missed us. Don't lie. You missed us. There's plenty of stuff going on. You know who the Capitals are missing is Big Willie. Willie, baby, he's been hurt. We're going to talk all about it. Joining me, as always, my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you doing? It's good to have internet again.
Yeah. You were having some internet issues. Couldn't get the Wi-Fi working. Couldn't get the modem working. You were in a dead zone.
Yeah, it was weird. I'm not exactly sure if it was my router or if it was the internet itself. I thought it was the router because we've been having trouble for a little while. But then my wife said she saw a Verizon truck outside on her way home that evening. Or the next morning or day. I can't remember when it was. Either way, I had no internet basically on Wednesday. Went to a friend, got his – he had another router, used that in my house, and had it started working, I guess, sometime overnight because it was working the next morning. But then the question is that because Verizon finally fixed the issue or is it the router? But then we plugged the old router back in, and it seems to be working fine on the old router. So I don't know.
Well, we got.
Yes, we were off last week thanks to me / Verizon.
We got to thank our buddy Will for helping us out. He helped us out with the website, helped you out with the router. I mean, it's all good. Thank you. It's where we store all our shows. Without Will, there's no way we would be able to have people listen to the show. So, thank you so much for that too. So let's talk about the last 2 weeks of Caps hockey. The Caps have been looking pretty good. They've been doing all right for themselves. TJ Oshie came back, and it's kind of crazy that we are in December now, and the season started in October, and the Capitals have yet to play a game with a full healthy team that they expected to play with in the preseason. Whether it be injuries or suspensions or whatever, the Capitals still have not had the team that they thought they were going to start with.
Wait. Before, when Wilson came back, before he got the concussion... Oh, you're talking about Orpik.
Right.
Okay. I guess that counts. See, even when he's cheap, I'm still crapping on. No, Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that until you said it. That's true. The Caps really haven't had their full roster, I don't think, for any game up until this point. But it hasn't exactly slowed them down. I mean, yeah, they struggled a little bit at the start of the season. But they've gone on quite a run. They had, what was it, like an 8-game winning streak or something along those lines in November. And then they lost two. And then now they're on a 3-game winning streak, I believe, after the wins over Arizona, Columbus, and Detroit, with the Columbus and Detroit games being rather not a statement per se, but they're pretty much in control throughout that game. They eased up the gas pedal a little bit in the third period against Detroit, but they're still able to blow them out with a 6-2 win and with a 4-0 shutout of Columbus, who's not a bad team. This is not the Columbus of old. They're a good team, and the Caps just completely controlled that game.
Well, that Columbus game as well was for the lead in the Metro, right? So
I think looking at the standings, Caps would have, if they didn't win that game, they'd be at 37 points. I mean, 35 points before that. Yeah, that would have been, I don't know if that Columbus would be in on top right now, but they would certainly be a Caps will beat Detroit. Columbus would be 1 point behind them, but yes. If Columbus had won that game, they would have been first in the Metro.
And I mean, I know
still
that,
a stupid name.
That yeah, but that doesn't really matter a lot right now in December. But still, to say you're number one still means something.
It's nice.
Yeah, but I mean, the bad thing I think that really woke this team up was that game against Anaheim. It was on Sunday the 2nd. I was at work. I was actually watching it through the app while I was working. Don't tell my boss. And the Capitals had gotten up like 5-1 in the first, and they pretty much stopped playing. You know, they took the foot off the gas, and they were like, all right, game's in the bag. Let's just pass the puck around a little bit. Let's not get too strenuous. And the Ducks came back to beat them. And that really sucked. It was a terrible game.
Yeah,
but
it was ugly.
It was really ugly, but maybe it was for the best that that happened, because the Capitals kind of woke up a couple days later, because they still lost to Vegas. But they kind of woke up a couple days after that and realized, oh, you know, we can't let our foot off the gas, which I don't know why you would think that anyway. But I guess when you go up 5-1 in the first, your mind starts to wander a little bit.
Yeah, that and I believe, let me double check the schedule. Yeah, that the Anaheim game was their first loss after the winning streak. And that one was pretty freaking ugly, let me tell you. They definitely had, what'd you say? Pulled their foot off the gas?
Yeah.
They definitely did that. There's no question there.
And that one,
it was a disappointing game because they really did have that one under control. What was it, 5-1?
It was 5-1 after the first, yeah.
Yeah, so that's embarrassing. Like, I get it if you give up 2 or 3, even if it gets to 5-4 at some point. But to be able to, not to be able to, but to go and lose that game shows that they completely took their foot off the gas. And they just kind of let, not take anything away from Anaheim, who certainly deserve credit for being able to come back in that game. But that they completely they didn't try hard enough. It was like, they were like, our winning streak will save us. And I was like, you got that winning streak because you played really well. And if you're not going to play really well, that winning streak is going to go, it's gone. So that happened. And then you saw the game against Vegas where it was kind of the same thing. That was an ugly game.
That was ugly for many reasons.
There was a lot of things going on that one. And then with the loss of Wilson after the hit from Ryan Reeves, he tried to make money off it. What a douche. And like, usually when you and I are talking about people on here, we're talking about them as hockey players. We're not talking about them as human beings. But for Reeves to go and sign that picture, like, that's a question of you as a human being in your class, Ryan Reeves. And that's pretty pathetic. But either way, with Wilson out, a lot of the concern early in the season with their struggles was they were missing Tom Wilson. And to some extent, that was definitely a big part. But Wilson's been out against Arizona, Columbus, and Detroit. And the Caps have turned it right around and gone back on a winning streak. And they've won the last three. So I think that this team is stepping up. You look at guys like Jacob Vrana, who stepped up his scoring. Burakovsky stepped up his play. You know, and you're seeing that these guys are playing a lot better now. The defense has stepped up. Holpe's playing well. So there's a reason they're on top of the Metropolitan. Now, if you look at the standings overall, it's not exactly great. Yes, the Caps are leading the Metropolitan by – it's still a dumb name. They're up 5 points on Columbus. But if you look at the Atlantic, they're 10 points behind Tampa, who has played 2 more games. They are 4 points behind Toronto, who's played 1 more game. And 1 point behind Buffalo, who's played 1 more game. Look at the Sabres. Aside from getting the first pick in the draft, their best move might have been getting Jeff Skinner from Carolina. Like, that dude's tearing it up. But the Caps, while doing a great job, they're a plus 20 right now in their goal differential. You'd like to hope they get be able to start picking up a lot more points, and that winning streak definitely helped to put them on top of the Metro. But you'd hope they'd be keeping up in terms of the conference with guys like Tampa and Toronto right now. And they're only a point behind Buffalo, so that's not so bad. But, you know, yes, they may win the division, but – and that's, knock on wood, they pull that off. But it's very early to talk about that. But this team still definitely has some work to do.
Oh, absolutely they do. And I do want to go back to that Vegas game for just a minute. It was – I mean, Nate Schmidt kind of putting the – nail in the coffin for the Caps.
Poetic.
Yeah, that really was. However, I mean, it was as if this team got redemption. I mean, I'm talking about the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, they got redemption for losing the Stanley Cup because...
Oh, did they win? Did the Caps go to Vegas and win earlier this season?
I didn't know. Not to Vegas. Vegas came here, I believe.
Wait.
Because it's they're not
now
there.
I can't...
They're in different conferences, so they each go across.
I know. Yes, they did. October 10th. It was at home.
Yeah.
Caps beat Vegas 5-2. Maybe they go to Vegas, but they played Vegas and won. They're like, we got our revenge. Oh, really? Where's your banner in the rafter for that one game?
So you have Marc-Andre Fleury doing the what's the word I'm looking for? The bird dance, like the eagle dance. that Kuzi does when he gets a goal. You have Ryan Reeves being
right, you can't talk smack about Fleury because that dude's got some cups. I'll let him go, but Reeves can go eat a you know what.
Right. It was very funny to kind of see the Golden Knights being like, we finally beat them. But it's, you know, they're not rivals. And the Caps beat them in five. So they had one win against the Caps. But I don't know. It seemed very
For clarification, Vegas has 35 points. They're only 4 points behind the Caps, but they're currently in what looks to be an interesting Western Conference. They are not in the playoffs. So they've also played They play two more games, so Vegas, you can sit down and shut up.
I also want to point out, if you remember at the beginning of the year when we said what are some of the predictions for this season, I said the Golden Knights would not make the playoffs.
Well, you ain't talking about predictions. I still have Vancouver and Buffalo making the playoffs. Buffalo is currently, where the standings go? Buffalo's third in the Atlantic. Where's the points? There it is. Two up on Boston. Vancouver is currently outside the playoffs by 4 points, but dude, they need some defense, and probably a goaltender. But Vancouver, as I'm wearing my Ryan Miller Vancouver Canucks jersey, they've got some offense. That Elias Patterson kid he's like the new Nick Backstrom. That kid is good.
Really, you're comparing to Backstrom?
You know what? Did you see the play he made? I can't remember who it was against. But did you see the play he made to welcome to the Vancouver Canucks podcast? I should have come up with it. The Totem Sharks or Orcas. I don't know what the hell we would call it. But anyways, that was really bad.
What the Canuck?
That's so good yet stupid. There was a play where Elias Pettersson – he like fell down. No, there's two. There's one where he didn't take a shot. He just like basically shot it off the boards to, I want to say it was Brock Boeser Boeser. He took it off the boards and scored a goal by skating past the defense. And then there was another one where he fell down and still collected the puck and like backhanded it to, it might've been Boeser again. Boeser? Something like this. He then scored. So if I can find the video, I'll send it to you because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, let me see it. I haven't seen it. So just so you know, right now, if the playoffs were to happen at this very moment, it would be Caps and Bruins, the matchup. So just something fun to see. But I didn't like the way Vegas handled that game. I don't like the way that they handled the Ryan Reeves situation. I don't like the way that the NHL handled the Ryan Reeves situation. Yes, I can understand like if a fan came up to you and maybe you signed that picture, but to mass produce him like that, when Manny Machado he knocked out, what was the he had gotten a fight with was it Batista from Toronto? I think it was Batista. It was a Batista from Toronto. But there was a great picture of him like hitting the guy in the face, and he refused to sign those pictures when people would bring him to autograph signings. So you don't have to sign things like that. And Ryan Reeves, you know, if people didn't get a hold of that picture and like the caption, everything you did, do you think you'd feel bad about it? You know, the only reason he feels bad about it is because people on the internet got mad at him. And he's not the only person. Bring Hockey Back, a t-shirt company that I've bought a couple shirts from, they put out a picture on a t-shirt of Ryan Reeves standing over Tom Wilson, a concussed Tom Wilson. So they're not the only people making merch off of him. And I don't know what that shirt ever went mass produced wise for Bring Hockey Back. I posted it on our Facebook page and that link has disappeared from their Instagram. So I don't know if they went through with it. But I mean, it's something we see a lot of in today's sports, and I don't like that the NHL hasn't done anything about it. I think they should have. Yes, they said the pictures were destroyed, but I would not be surprised if in a couple weeks or so, one shows up on eBay.
So the issue I have more with how that game went down, and I don't know if the NHL, what they can do about it this moment, because I don't think it technically is against any rules, but it's the fact that Reeves was targeting him the entire game. The entire game. He's talking a lot of smack. He was, you know, trying to hit him as much as he could. Like, he clearly was trying to do something to Tom Wilson. No question about it. And the fact that this happened should not have been a surprise to anybody. So, I don't... I think the fact that he got a game misconduct and was ejected is the reason that he didn't get a suspension. But I felt like a fine was somewhat necessary. Yes, the head wasn't the main point of contact. The reason Wilson has a concussion is because his head hit the ice. I get that. But the predatory nature of what he was doing is the problem.
100%.
And I feel like the NHL needs to look into that, because it's Ryan Reeves is not the first one to behave this way. And there needs to be repercussions for your actions. I work with kids. They know, ideally, when someone makes a mistake, there's a punishment. There's something that happens as a result of it. Because when you make a mistake, what I tell the kids is the idea is that you learn from your mistake. Depending on the level of mistake, mistakes are okay as long as you learn from them. The NHL has not learned from the mistake of allowing this predatory type behavior to continue.
And it's crazy. I mean, yes, Tom Wilson deserved the suspension he got. You'll never get me to not say that. He made a dumb move. He shouldn't have went after that Blues player. It makes no sense of why you would do that. However, the Capitals were without TJ Oshie, without Yevgeny Kuznetsov, without Tom Wilson, all due to hits on the ice and concussions, and none of those people making those hits have been suspended for those particular hits. So it's kind of hypocritical to give Tom Wilson this bad reputation, which he has earned. Don't get me wrong. He has.
Oh, he definitely has earned it.
But at the same time, if you're going to hold like the – what was it? He got ejected for trying to make himself small and hitting a guy in the shoulder. And he got ejected for it. And he got ejected because he was Tom Wilson. So, I mean – This is going to happen over and over again. But if you, it's weird because I know you can't really like, you can't say what's a concussion, what isn't. You know, like, we're still figuring all that out. But there are times where it just doesn't make any sense. You have three guys out from a concussion from hits on the ice, and you have three players out there who made those hits where nothing happened to them.
It goes back to a lot of stuff where, there's times that Wilson's had hits that he probably should have gotten at least a talking to for. These things keep happening. And the players, when they come out and they say they don't understand what is something that will get them fined or suspended or what isn't, they're right, because there does not appear to be any consistency with the NHL.
No, absolutely not. There's absolutely none. So what else should we talk about? Let's talk about TJ Oshie coming back into the lineup. It was good to see him. It was his first game back on Tuesday against Detroit, correct? And he missed almost, a month of games because of a concussion. So it was good to see him back. And you could tell immediately he made an impact. You and I were talking 2 weeks ago. If the team's really doing well, how do you bring TJ Oshie back and kind of screw up with those lines? Well, he came in, made himself right at home, and hasn't skipped a beat, it seems like.
Yes. It's funny you should put it that way, because it definitely felt like, given that whole game went really well. Well, when you win 6-2, it definitely goes well. But yeah, it doesn't really feel like that he was out. You kind of expect someone to come back and struggle a little bit, but that was most definitely not the case. And it's great to see, because they need the goal scoring. You can't always expect Ovechkin, even though he's leading the league in goals right now, you can't always expect him to score, but you're getting goal scoring from a lot of other guys. I mean, I think who scored last night? You had Ovechkin had three.
Hat trick.
He had the hat trick, and it was Oshie, Connolly, and Travis Boyd, who we have to give congratulations to. He's got his first two NHL goals. One in the game, the win over Detroit, and the other one I want to say was in the win over Columbus.
Yeah.
So, this team is starting to get goal scoring from all around. And when you have someone like TJ Oshie back in the lineup, it just makes it harder for another team to slow the other guys down. There's another player they have to focus on. Look at it this way. When Oshie's out, it seems to be that either Wilson Connolly are on the power play, especially in that slot right in front of the goalie. And not to say anything negative about Brett Connolly, who's done really well for this team, it's very different when you look at Connolly there and when you look at Oshie. And I feel like as an opposing coach, you're much more nervous or concerned when it's TJ Oshie that's going to be in front of your goalie versus Brett Connolly. I mean, there's a reason that one of them is making significantly more than the other. So having Oshie back only makes it harder for other teams. It makes it way better for the Capitals. And it's great to have him back. And now they all really, it'd be great to have Ork back, but the defense is going really well with this platoon. It seems to be between Bowie and Singenthaler. And so, you know, as soon as they can get Tom Wilson back, I feel like this team's going to go on quite a run. Of course, now that I said that, I just jinxed him.
Yeah, way to go.
My bad.
How do you feel about Todd Reirden's coaching calls of who gets to sit and who gets to play? Because with TJ Oshie out, Evgeny Kuznetsov out, Tom Wilson out, Brooks Orpik out, he's had to make decisions of people that he kind of had to shuffle the lines up. It's not the team he expected to have. And you see a guy like Andrei Burakovsky, who was on the top line with Alex Ovechkin one game, and then the next game is benched, and he's in the press box. So, and then you have guys like Singenthaler, and you have Christian Juice, and you've got Madison Bowie, and those guys kind of fighting for a spot. So how do you think Todd Reirden has done picking who plays and who sits?
I think he's done really well. I mean, the team's in first place, so there isn't too much to complain about at the moment. I think we had some concerns in the beginning of the year, but it seems like a lot of that they've gotten over. When we talk about Burakovsky, the other guys are still a bit younger between, you know, if you look at the sort of platooning between Bowie and Singenthaler and sort of their shuffling around guys on the first line. Ovechkin's still leading the league in goals right now, so it's not exactly like he's struggling. So there's no real reason to be concerned about that right wing spot. It seems to be whoever's there seems to be able to at least, you know, it's not slowing the Ovechkin or Kuznetsov or Backstrom down. I mean, if you look at the raw in terms of points, Ovechkin's leading team in points with 39 with 25 goals. Backstrom second on the team with 38 points and 28 assists. And then Kuznetsov's got 29 points with 22 assists. So it's not like anybody, any of those guys are necessarily being slowed down by not having their normal right winger, be it Tom Wilson or TJ Oshie. But if you look at a guy like Andrei Burakovsky, he's got 8 points in 29 games. And I feel like, you know who he reminds me of? And I feel like I said this before. He kind of reminds me of Tomas Fleischmann in that, hold on, hear me out. Fleischmann, like, he was really good offensively sometimes. Like, sometimes he was on, like, he was a streaky player. You would go a couple of games, you'd be like, damn, this guy's going to be good. And then he would go a while doing nothing. And you'd be like, we need to get rid of him. And so it was just, it was really annoying. Like, it would go back and forth. And you'd be like, well, you just freaking pick one. Either be good or suck. But at least we'd know. And I kind of feel like for the money he's making this year, and it's not just, you know, I mean, everybody's overpaid, but he's making $3 million this year. His contract is for $3 million. And he's got 8 freaking points in 29 games. That's just nowhere near good enough. Like, that's not even close to good enough. So, and yes, he spent time on the fourth line. He spent time in the press box, but that doesn't count as a game he's played in. And he needs to be better. And a lot, there's a big part of me that looks at him and goes, he might not be a part of this team after the trade deadline. Now, he's only 20, or at the end of the season, he's only 23. So it's a little early to be like, get him out. But he's coming up on being restricted free agent. He's already at $3 million. How much more of your cap it are you willing to spend on him knowing you need to re-sign Jacob Vrana, who's coming off, I believe, his rookie deal? He's only got $863,000 and change in his. And Vrana is – I'm not – hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's 6th on the team in points and 18 points in 30 games. Now, I believe he spent more time in the top six, but – He for the most part, is taking advantage of his opportunities, whereas Burakovsky is not. And Burakovsky's only a year older and making significantly more. You need to re-sign Christian Juice after the season. You need to either re-sign or bring up a goaltender. That's going to cost a bit of money. You need to re-sign Dmitry Yashkin, who I don't think he's going to make a lot, but I like what I've seen from this guy so far. And you're going to have to re-sign, by the way, after next season. You know who needs a new contract, Brandon?
Who's that?
Nicholas Backstrom.
Oh.
He's an unrestricted free agent after next season. Hey, You know who needs a new contract after two seasons from now?
Is that Alexander Ovechkin?
Alex Ovechkin. His, like, what was it, 13-year deal or whatever it is? That's up after the 2020-21 season.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
Now, he'll be like 35, so I don't imagine he's going to make a ton. Then again, he doesn't seem to be slowing down at all, knock on wood. So who knows?
You got to think.
So with that said, you still got Kuznetsov for a while and Oshie for a while, Wilson for a while. Eller for a while. But you need to resign these guys, and you can't do that if you're having to give raises to Andre Burakovsky and his 8 goddamn points.
Well, Jacob Verana, let me call him his correct name, Jakub Verana, the kid puts in the work. There's been a photo floating around Twitter the last couple of days of him staying after practice by himself on the ice shooting pucks for a half hour. So he's putting in the work. He's doing what he has to do. He's putting in the practice, and it's showing on the ice. He's playing absolutely fantastic. I mean, this nothing but up for this kid, and he needs to be on this team, because when they win the Stanley Cup again, he needs to get even more trash, because that dude was hilarious on Instagram. But on the ice, he's absolutely fantastic. He's doing a great job. Last year, we were saying, who do you play, Burakovsky or Verana? And they were kind of fighting for that spot. If those are your two choices, I'm picking Verana every night. I mean, Burakovsky just doesn't have the talent. I think he'll do great in the KHL. I think that he could do great there. Go play with Michael Lotta or something like that. That's great. But it's kind of funny you bring up Ovechkin and Backstrom's deal. So Ovechkin will be 35. He's got a kid already. I kind of maybe see him. He could potentially leave the NHL and play his last couple seasons for Dynamo Moscow in the KHL, just to do it in Russia, be closer to his family, that kind of thing, with the last few years he has left in his playing career. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
Well, if he's, what is he going to be, 35?
He's 33 now, so two more years, he'll be 35.
At the end of his season, he'll be 35. So 35 going on, 36. My guess is he signs a two-year deal, goes to 37. It depends. So, like, at the end of the 2020-21 season, or even the 2019-20 season, if he's still tearing it up, I think the Caps try and sign him to a 3-4-year deal, hopefully for less money. But my guess is that won't be the case. He'll still make a ton. But they try and keep him around until his late 30s, if not into, you know, 40. And at that point, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back and play in Russia. And this team moves on to hopefully their next star, whoever that may be. I mean, it'd be Kuznetsov, I would imagine, at that point. Well,
that's kind of interesting to think about, though. Could the next star after Ovechkin already be in the system?
No.
No?
Not offensively.
Yeah.
And you say in the system, so the guys currently on the roster don't count. Correct. I think Vrana will be a solid second line winger.
Okay.
You know, he's only 22, and Vrana may end up being a very good first line winger. You know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but, you know, in a couple of years, this team could struggle a little bit and may need to go through a little bit of a rebuild, or they may go out and sign or trade for some big name star. But either way, they still, you know, they still have a number of years to go. But if we're looking at a guy like Andre Burakovsky, I just don't know how you give that dude a raise next year. I know he's only 23, but he's already making $3 million a year. His cap hit is too high for the production that he's got, or doesn't have, I should say.
All right, anything else we should cover in Caps world?
We already gave congrats to Travis Boyd. Oshie was out but came back. Wilson got hurt in Vegas. No word on when he'll be back. Credit to the Caps. They raised more than $131,000 for their Hockey Fights canceled. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. So that's pretty awesome for them and for everyone, really. And then it was a weird thing where the Caps called up Riley Barber and then, like, sent him back down a day or two later. Like, I feel like that's kind of like a move.
I think they were unsure about what was going to happen with Oshie.
No, I know, but it's still, you're kind of like, you got to imagine Barber gets that call and he's like, I'm coming to the show. I'm ready, guys. And then they're like, yeah, we need you to go ahead and go back to Hershey.
Can I keep my jersey? No, give it back. Like,
Get back on 95 to 83. Like, that's, you're not, those roads don't actually intersect. You have to go to 695.
Not at all.
Not the point. No, you do 95, 695, 83. Settle down, Brandon. Enough.
They both go north.
I know that. But 95 does go to Hershey. Doesn't 83 go to Hershey? Yeah. Or close enough.
You make a right at York.
Yeah. And I'd be going up there next week. Anyways. So, not to embarrass me. I need to get the one. But yeah, so I thought it was kind of mean on Barber. But yeah, that's pretty much the Caps news past week. The team is doing well. They are, you know, the 3-game winning streak after losing 2. Things have been going pretty good.
All right, well, if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to discuss the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. But before we talk about those guys, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It is time to go down on the farm. It is time to talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went 2-2-1 with a win over Binghamton and Hartford. The Bears are currently last in the Atlantic Division with 22 points and a record of 11-13-2. 15 points back of first place Charlotte, the only sixth back of third place Springfield. So it's kind of good, kind of bad. Not entirely sure how to feel about it right now. They'll attempt, right? It's a little weird. They'll attempt to start a run on Saturday in Providence, followed up with a game in Springfield on Sunday and another road game in Lehigh Valley next Wednesday. Now, I got quite a bit of Bears news. As first, the team signed defenseman Ryan Sproul last Tuesday. He's played 276 career games in the AHL as well as 16 games with the Rangers in the NHL. Forward, he's got a weird name, Beck Melanston. He was suspended for two games as a consequence of an illegal check to the head of an opponent when they played Hartford. That's not nice, Beck, and you got to sit out. Also, the Bears announced that they have set a new world record for Bears thrown on the ice with their teddy bear toss. Brandon, I know you were excited. In that win over Binghamton, 34,798 stuffed animals were thrown onto the ice.
That's a lot of stuffed animals.
That's absurd. Holy crap.
I've seen the video of the Bears being thrown onto the ice. And that, let me tell you, that is definitely something to see. That is crazy.
It's, yeah, it's a little freaking nuts. Like, I don't understand. That's like, how do you get in there with that many bears or stuffed animals? Like, I'm literally trying to figure out the logistics of how, like, hold on. I got 13,000. Like, what the, anyways, I don't understand how that works, but yeah, that's what's going on in Hershey. Let's head on down to South Carolina where the Stingrays went 4-2 with wins over Florida, Jacksonville. I know they're the same, but one team's called Florida and one's called Jacksonville because it's Florida, and they got two wins over Atlanta, just like the Caps used to always do. They're currently second in the South Division with 28 points, with a record of 14-11. They're back at it as we speak against Atlanta. Then they take on Greenville at the North Charleston Coliseum on Saturday before heading to Orlando on Monday. Go on, let's go back up to Hershey real quick, Brandon. Sergey, what the hell was his last name again?
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Right Whatever. Now. He's gone. He actually, so I believe he was let his contract and then he signed a PTO with, I want to say Springfield. I'm looking him up.
So he just stayed in the NHL?
Well, AHL, but yes.
Whatever.
Nova Caps at Nova_Caps on Twitter. December 7th. As per Zach Fish, Sergei Shumakov refused to take the ice for practice earlier this week, and as a result, the Capitals placed him on unconditional waivers. And then December 8th, it was reported that he signed a PTO with Springfield. I think they're the Thunderbirds.
Wait, so he refused to show up for practice and then just signed with another AHL team?
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to see if there's anything else on Twitter about him. He's apparently playing for Springfield because he's playing 2 hours ago. He had a nice move on the ice. That's all I got. He scored a beautiful goal in his second game with Springfield. Maybe he wasn't getting the ice time he wanted and he wanted to go somewhere else. I don't know. Either way, good luck, buddy. Yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, good for the Bears to get that many teddy bears, and hopefully they'll. I think they go to Toys for Tots, and hopefully they'll get some good stuff, go to some good people this holiday season. So, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about. And I'm actually going to lead off the news here. 38 minutes ago, James Myrtle, I hope his name is. He's an editor-in-chief for the Atlantic Canada.
Oh, what did I miss?
He announced Weezer will headline the Winter Classic Entertainment this year. Weezer, guys, hold your applause now.
Whatever, man. I don't like Weezer.
Island in the Sun or Buddy Holly. Those are some good ones.
What's the Africa, right?
Well, that's a cover.
I know. It's still fun.
Yeah, but it sounds exactly like the original. Like, just listen to the original.
Look, man, it's fun. Don't be a Debbie Downer.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's why I don't understand the new Lion King trailer. Yeah, it looks amazing and the graphics are great, but it's literal shots from The Lion King. Why don't I just watch The Lion King?
That's all nostalgia and stuff, but it's still fun.
I'm still seeing it. Let's not kid ourselves.
It's terrible, but I'm going to pay money for it. All right. So anyways, let's go around the NHL. Let's start in the Great Northwest, where the NHL announced that Seattle has been awarded the 32nd NHL team, which will start play at the beginning of the 2021-22 season. No word on a name at this time. Now, Brandon, I know you want to talk about this, but the draft rules for Seattle are rather interesting.
Okay.
As they are the same as what Vegas got, except they can't pick a player for Vegas. What?
What?
How is it that Vegas – yeah. So that's what I read. Maybe that's changed since and I wasn't paying attention. But what I read is that Vegas will not lose a player to Seattle.
I don't like this rule.
It's full nonsense. But everything else is pretty much going to be the same. NHL teams can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie, or 8 skaters and 1 goalie. There's a bunch of rules regarding who must be made available and who cannot be selected, which you can find at NHL.com. I'm not reading them all because we'll be here till tomorrow.
All right, I gotta ask you something. Just kind of thought about this after we were talking about earlier with contracts ending coming up. Nick Backstrom. Can you afford him?
They'll re-sign him.
Can you afford him? Because, man, you could build, if you're Seattle, you can build an entire
team.
Dude,
he'll only be 32.
32.
There's no way they're letting Backstrom go. Yeah, Backstrom's not going anywhere.
All right, I'm just saying, you know, it'd be kind of interesting.
No, not unless we get Pettersson from Vancouver. There's no way.
All right, so let's say this team doesn't change at all for 2 years. Who do you think the Capitals would lose if Seattle were to snatch up a guy right now?
They can have Andre Burakovsky.
They don't want him.
I think they'd take him. 23 years old? They'd take him. Okay, fine. Let's do 7 forwards, 3 defensemen for fun. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie, Wilson. Wait, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie, Wilson, Eller. I'm just taking all the guys that are expensive. Verona, there's rules as to who are automatically protected and don't count for your 7. So I may have already said someone. I guess Verona is the last guy I'm protecting. You expose Stevenson, Dowd, Boyd, Smith, Pelly, Yashkin, Connolly, and Burakovsky. I guess there's a chance to lose Connolly or Boyd or Stevenson, but I don't anticipate that being the case. Defenseman, that's a little tricky. So you got Carlson, Niskanen, Orlov, Kempney, Bowie, Singenthaler, and Juice. I don't know. I mean, Carlson's a given. Wait, what year did I say they're starting? Ooh, Niskanen will need a new contract then. Exactly. That'll be interesting.
There you go.
No, I think the Caps re-sign him. Probably to a short-term deal because he'll be 34, 35. I think Carlson, Orlov, depending on how he's playing. Obviously, this all depends on how these guys are playing. I would say Carlson, Orlov, and Juice would be my 3. Or they go with 8 skaters and risk exposing. I don't know. This is tough.
Can you save a goaltender?
Holtby.
Can you only save 1 goaltender?
Oh, you know what? I think they might have to. If Samsonov turns out to be the real deal, they may either. Oh, you know what? They might protect Samsonov and expose Holtby. Because think about it. In 2021, he'll be 31.
Uh-huh.
So if Samsonov shows that he's ready to take the reins or even close, I think they protect him and expose Holpe.
Oh, man, this could get interesting.
A little bit.
So many namestays for the Capitals whose contracts are ending or are getting up there in age. I mean, the Seattle thing could really open up the floodgates for the Capitals.
Dude, it's one person that might live. Fell down.
But think about, like I just said, think about the namestays. What? Think of the people that have changed the way hockey is viewed in Washington and who's going to be available.
Yeah, but if you look, it's still a few years from now. So the reality is this roster is still probably going to be a bit different when we get to that point.
No, I don't think they're going to change anything for 2 years.
All right, well, you keep living in La La Land.
All right, what else?
The NHL also announced that Arizona will shift from the Pacific to the Central Division once Seattle starts playing. So that'll be a little interesting in terms of the divisions and the conferences will be even at that point. Longstanding holdout William Nylander agreed to terms with Toronto last week on a 6-year contract, which will see him get paid $6.9 million per season. That's got to be awkward. I mean, holding out for as long as he did. And then that first day you come back in the locker room, like if you're a guy on that team that's been playing for Toronto the entire time and you're like, screw you, buddy, you didn't want to come back and play with us, like that's got to be kind of awkward. But then you're also kind of like, you're really good, so thanks for coming back. And finally, we got a bunch of suspension news to talk about. First, let's go to Detroit, where forward Tyler Bertuzzi was suspended for 2 games for roughing and unsportsmanlike conduct against Columbus's Matt Calvert. Apparently the Calgary Minnesota game from last week was quite heated, as 2 suspensions came from that one, both of them on Calgary players. First was defenseman Mark Giordano. He got 2 games for kneeing Mikko Koivu. That's not nice. Then forward Ryan Lomberg instigated a fight within the last 5 minutes of a game and left the bench during a legal line change to start said fight with Matt Dumba. He's got a funny last name, which earned him 2 games. Also, Calgary head coach Bill Peters got a $10,000 fine for letting Lomberg go and start that fight. So that was an interesting one, I'll bet. And finally, Toronto forward Zach Hyman was suspended for 2 games for interference against Boston's Charlie McAvoy. That's the news from the past 2 weeks in the NHL.
You know, we went to school with a guy whose last name was McAvoy.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we did? Dude, totally blanked on that. My bad.
I remember when McAvoy became a Bruin and they showed like his jersey on the back. I just remember sending him a photo and I just write, "How dare you, sir?" And he's just like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know." All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation, yeah, you should. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals things when I actually feel like, you know, being on Twitter and doing things. You can also find me talking about Arsenal Football Club as well as other sporting related things. That's at WTP Coach Dan on Twitter. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out as well as other fun things that come into Brandon's head that he feels like throwing out there on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, can you do us a favor? Where can we learn about other things that you do on the internet?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast or any other podcast that we produce, like The Call. That's another good one if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. A lot of stuff going on right now in Baltimore Ravens world, like Joe Flacco losing the starting QB position. It's been a long time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Long time since Joe has been a backup, so it'll be kind of intriguing to see what's going to happen the next couple weeks. So if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, go listen to The Call. And since you're a What the Puck fan, I'll be there too. So what else can we talk about? So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, just a few games to go over. Let's see. On Friday, December 14th, the Capitals travel to Carolina to go against the Hurricanes. That game is at 7:30, and if my computer would like to work, I would tell you where you could watch it, but it's not showing me that right now, so that's fine. And then on the 15th, Saturday, oh, there we go. That's better. Only took it a couple minutes. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, December 15th, the Caps are back home in D.C. up against the Sabres from Buffalo. It's Coach Dan's second favorite team. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington.
No, it's not.
It's your second favorite team. You love them. You love the Sabres.
I'm literally sitting here wearing a Canucks jersey.
They're your third favorite team.
Given that Ryan Miller's name is on the back of it.
Miller. Ryan Miller. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.